For you, and we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And I just ask, Father, as we come to the final two chapters here in the book of Revelation, God, just to remember that all these things that we've been studying, they are literal unless they're specifically spoken of being symbolic. And so as we see today here in Revelation chapter 21, the beginning of eternity in the New Jerusalem. And Lord, I just pray that you would allow us to be able to understand through the power of your Spirit what we're going to be reading and talking about this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that as we read these things, that we just glorify you and praise you, God, because this is our future. We're getting a glimpse of where we're going to be for all eternity. It's awesome. God, go before us. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in chapter 21, the Apostle John gives us a look at the church's eternal home. As we at this point go from time to eternity in a new creation. Now keep in mind, we are in our new glorified bodies. All things have become brand new. There's changes that are made here in chapters 21 and 22. First of all, there will be no more sin, temptation, or testing in the new creation. This in itself makes a radical difference. Secondly, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven means the earth and all the new creation will revolve around the New Jerusalem. It's also the place where God and Jesus will be dwelling. Third, the law of gravity as we know it will be radically changed. People will be able to travel between the New Jerusalem and the earth because our new bodies won't be affected by the law of gravity. Fourth, there will be no sun or moon to give light. God Himself, God the Father, will be the source of light to the entire universe. There won't be any night there because our new bodies won't need to rest. Never sleep again. Fifth, there will no longer be any sea. The sea makes up about 3/4 of the earth's surface today. Now, according to Revelation 22, verse 2, throughout eternity, man will eat fruit as he did in the Garden of Eden. Thus, the reason for all the trees back in Adam and Eve's day. All fruit trees. That's what man ate. That's what we'll be eating for eternity. Our bodies will just absorb it. Six, we'll have the presence of Jesus and God together with God's throne visible, ushering in a new day for mankind. Now, we have 27 verses here, so we are going to go ahead and start reading them now. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." God himself will be with him and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each individual gate of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amazing scripture. The first thing John tells us is this present order of creation will pass away. It's going to pass away to make room for a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus had told us in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This old creation was made for the first Adam. Jesus, the last Adam, has a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 66:22. This is the fulfillment of what God had promised Abraham, a land that would last forever, and to King David, a throne that would last forever. Daniel 2:44, Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16, and 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Now I'm giving you these verses because I want you to please read them. No doubt the biggest change of the earth is going to be the absence of the sea. I mean, it's going to radically change the climate, the atmosphere, and the living conditions. No one's going to be able to claim climate change anymore. It's all going to be a thing God does as he does now. And with no sea, just imagine how great the population on the earth can be. The entire surface of the earth is all land. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, is coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. But I want you to notice here, nor does it say the city goes all the way to the earth. Where the city stops, the scripture doesn't tell us. Many believe it is possible it will be suspended in the air. Now, we know this much according to God's word, the scriptures. The New Jerusalem will be the center of all things in the universe. All activity and glory will revolve around the New Jerusalem. This is where God the Father will be and where Jesus the Son are going to be. The experience Israel had in the wilderness. Remember, it taught them each time there was a rebellion in the camp, God's glory appeared, but it appeared in judgment. The manifestation of God's glory brought terror to people. Why? Well, because they were sinners. And because they were sinners, they knew they deserved judgment. Imagine what it's going to be like to behold God's glory, to be able to look at it and live. Remember what God told Moses? Man, you can't see me and live, Moses. I'll sit you on the side of the cliff. I'll put my hand over your eyes. I will go by and I'll remove my hand. You can see the back parts of me. Just by seeing the back parts of God, Moses' face shone to where he had to put a bag over his, well, not a bag. He had to put a cloth over his face, over his head, because it shone and it freaked the people out. We're going to see God face to face. We are going to stand there clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, God's presence will make this city the source of glory for the entire universe, because every blessing is going to radiate out from the New Jerusalem to the universe. Secondly, our presence won't stop the manifestation of God's glory because sin will no longer exist. Can you imagine never even having a bad thought, a dirty thought again? I mean, it's mind-boggling. Redeemed man dwelling with God in a city having God's glory has always been God's ultimate goal. Hebrews 2 verse 10. Now the Greek word translated light in verse 11 is speaking of the source of light. The source of light. Okay, what are you talking about, Rick? Well, it doesn't reflect light as the moon does. Neither does it generate light like the sun does. It originates light and is the source of light. Remember, Jesus had declared in John chapter 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. Are you guys getting the picture here? We're seeing the Gospels. We're seeing what Jesus said, come to life. The whole city is like a precious gem that is likened to a jasper stone. Now think about this. The stone is transparent and shining, which could mean it's like a diamond. The New Jerusalem is like a diamond in a gold mounting. It's as if this city is an engagement ring of the bride, the wedding ring, a symbol of the betrothal and wedding of the church to Jesus Christ for all eternity. Amazing. There are 12 gates to the city, 3 gates on each side, and on each gate is the name of one of the tribes of Israel. We're reminded of the order the children of Israel camped around the tabernacle as they were wandering around in the wilderness. There was 3 tribes on each side. Well, here's what's interesting. According to that order, the tribe of Levi was the priesthood that served in the tabernacle. Now, in a sense, the New Jerusalem will be a place where God and Jesus will now be dwelling there with man. You know what that means? Are you guys ready for this? It means the bride, yes, you and I that make up the church, will make up the priesthood who will also live in the New Jerusalem. That's our home. That's our home with God the Father and God the Son. I mean, it's just mind-boggling when you think about it. The children of Israel will be among the multitudes who will come into the New Jerusalem to worship. But we, the bride, we will live there. The city has 12 foundations, and the names of the 12 apostles are written on them. Here you have the Old Testament, 12 tribes of Israel. Here you have the New Testament, the 12 apostles. The measurements of the city John gives have led to all kinds of ideas as to the size and shape of this city. Who was it, Spurgeon or Ironside said it was like a triangle. I mean, it's amazing. You just look at the scripture and what does it say? It's square, right? I mean, I want you to notice what's being said here. 12,000 furlongs is given as a measurement of each side and the height. Sounds clear to me, right? How can you symbolize this? How can you spiritualize any of this, as the amillennial list and the premillennial list suggest? That calculates to about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles square. It's huge. This wall is built of jasper, which is the hardest of substances and the most beautiful of gems, making up the exterior of the New Jerusalem. The 12 foundations of the city not only have the names of the 12 apostles, there are also 12 different precious stones. I don't want to take a long time on this. Jasper is clear in color, possibly a diamond. It's crystal clear and reflects light and color. Sapphire is blue. Chalcedony is greenish. Emerald is green. Sardonyx is red. Sardius is a fiery red. Chrysolite is golden yellow. Beryl is another green. Topaz is a greenish yellow. Chrysoprase, a goldish green, or like a sea foam green. Jacinth is violet. Violet and amethyst is purple, or like a ruby. Now think of those colors and imagine this light from God lighting up the new heavens and the new earth, coming out from the New Jerusalem to the whole universe, going out through all these incredible colors, flooding God's universe. Man, you talk about a trip and never leaving the farm, it's going to be awesome. The gates are pure pearl. And notice this. John doesn't say streets as in plural, but singular. Street. It is pure, transparent gold. We will be walking the street of gold. In the new creation, God will be the direct physical and spiritual light. It brings us back to the tabernacle and the golden lampstand, which was a picture of Christ. In the New Jerusalem, God himself is the golden lampstand. All the nations of the earth, as well as Israel, will come to New Jerusalem as the high priest of the old enter the Holy of Holies. But there's one big difference. Instead of the blood being brought for the atonement to be shed on the mercy seat, the Lamb is there in person. The Lamb who shed his blood for our sin on the cross, he's there in person. The temple, which was the tabernacle in the nation Israel, was an earthly enclosure of God's Shekinah glory. I mean, it was a testimony to God's presence, but it was also a testimony to the presence of sin. You see, where sin existed, God could only be approached by the ritual of the temple. But here in the New Jerusalem, sin no longer exists because God's presence will be there and there is no necessity for a temple. The temple was a poor substitute for God's presence, but the New Jerusalem is going to be the genuine. God the Father will be there in person. It'll probably be the first place where God will make a personal appearance before man. Amazing, huh? God has now accomplished his purpose originally with man. What was that? fellowship. Fellowship with a creature who is a free moral agent and chooses to worship and serve God eternally. We choose this. Throughout eternity, the church will be for the display of God's grace, Ephesians 2:7. Are you guys understanding what it means to be a born-again believer and what we have waiting for us for eternity? Not just for a couple weeks, couple months, couple years, 100 years. Eternity. Being in heaven means being with Jesus. I mean, Revelation is all about him. He is the centerpiece of God's universe. The nations bring their glory and honor into it. These are the redeemed Gentile nations, which will live on earth together with Israel for eternity. They don't belong to the church because they're redeemed after the church is removed from the earth at the rapture, or before the church came into existence. Acts chapter 2 is the founding of the church, the rapture. What we are expecting to take place at any moment is the end of the church age, the church dispensation. Notice who will be with us. An innumerable company of angels. They will also walk the street of the New Jerusalem. Most importantly, among the multitudes, there is not one who will bring defilement or sin. There is no lie or liar that will ever enter, even though the gates will never be closed. Thomas Edison had been in a coma, and coming out of it, he said, "It's very beautiful over there." Then he died. There's only one way to heaven. Turn right at Calvary and keep going straight. I love it. Next time, chapter 22, as we finish the book of Revelation in the Bible, Christ's final invitation to come. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word. And as we've been studying it, we see that you cannot spiritualize the whole book of Revelation, and you cannot put the book of Revelation sometime into history in the past. It is what it is. It's literal. And so, God, thank you for opening up our eyes to be able to read this and somewhat have somewhat of an understanding of what is taking place, what is getting ready to happen. This is all before us. Everything in the book of Revelation, it's all before us. And we thank you, Father, that we're not going to be here for any part of the tribulation. And Lord, we're going to be getting ready to reign for 1,000 years and then go off into eternity. God bless the rest of this day. Bless this week. Go before us. We love you, Father. We praise you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to enable us to somewhat get a grip and a grasp on what we've been studying here. And Father, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory that's due your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.